Okay, we're getting down to the end of this study, dealing with the apocalypse of man and looking at the spirit, soul, and body individually. And then obviously we have to put them all back together because we're one being, you understand. But we break things down to give us some clarification to where we can have a better understanding and correct some mistakes in our lives to where we can operate more like God designed us to operate, okay? And we know the spirit and the soul make up the heart of man, the inward man, the outward man, okay? Though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, the outward man being the body, the inward man being the heart, the soul and the spirit, the heart. And it's the spirit gives life to the soul. Even before a person is born again, it's their spirit that gives life to the soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God formed man from the dust of the earth. Then what did he do? Here you had a complete man. All of him's there. Everything is there. And God breathed ruach, spirit, wind, breath, however you want to say it, and man became a living soul. Right? So then the spirit gave life to the soul. Now, after Adam's fall, the life to the soul, when we're born into the world, we're born into sin, the life we have in us at that time is still giving life to the soul, you understand, but we're programmed with the wrong nature. In other words, we have the spirit of the world rather than the spirit of God. All right? And so that's why it's so important when a person gets born again, they get the spirit of God. It's called the new birth. And what happens then? You have the nature of God, not the nature of Adam, on the inside of you. So now you have a new nature giving life to the soul. The soul's not born again, but it has a new nature giving it life. Now it has the ability to draw information from a different source. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But when we go back to, like I was asked to go back here to the letter P on your study guide, or in your study guide, the soul of man controls his health and prosperity. There's a lot of erroneous teaching out, all right? And let me preface that by saying this. Any truth taken to an extreme will become an error. And you'll find that most doctrines out there started with a truth. You understand? And then people tried to develop around a truth and make it the truth. It's a part of the whole picture. And this faith movement and prosperity and all this, and I'm a strong proponent of faith. You hear me? It's extremely important that you understand that. But it got in a ditch, and here's how it got in a ditch. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, says that the basic fundamentals, one of the things is faith toward God. And we started putting, the teaching said, put your faith on this, put your faith on that. Your faith was in what you could get for yourself. Your faith wasn't toward God. Well, I got faith, I'm going to get this house. I have faith, I'm going to get this car. I have faith in this, I have faith in that. You're just lusting and it's to consume on your own flesh. And God never ordained it to be that way. No one's more prosperous than God. Haggai says all the gold and silver are the Lord's. You understand? And if you look at the New Jerusalem, God's doing all right for Himself. But His emphasis is not on the accumulation of a wealth as we know it in a natural thing. Now, if you look at the word prosper and be in health, let's look at the word prosper, if you would, Michaela. To help on the road, succeed in reaching. All right, I want you to succeed in reaching. Now look at this, be in health. Sound, to have sound health, to be well, to be uncorrupt or true in doctrine, okay? Even as your soul prospers, and look at the word prosper again, same word. Okay? So what is God wanting? Where's the emphasis? He wants my soul prospering. As a man thinks in his heart, that's where your soul is, in his heart, so is he. So, what I'd like for you to do is you get your mind renewed with the Word of God, and then I want your health to be equal to that. That's, John is actually writing this to Gaius. Right? I mean, if you read the letter, John's writing that to Gaius. And actually, it's a compliment. Gaius is evidently prospering in the soul. He's prospering in the Word of God. He's applying the Word of God to his life. And he says that your health and your success be in relation to your soul. But we've tried to put dollar marks on success. And we've made prosperity something other than God made it. What is prosperity? Your needs met, more than enough. Do you think Jesus was prosperous? But yet he said he didn't have a place to lay his head. When he needed money to pay taxes, he didn't go into his pocket and pull it out. He sent Peter fishing. Didn't he? Here's the thing. Prosperity is knowing your resource. It's knowing your resource. It's not how much you have in the bank. It's knowing your resource, that God is your source. I know back when I was still working secular work, and the Lord had been, I knew I was going to go into ministry. I just didn't know when. I mean, you know, I wasn't disgruntled with my job or anything like that. And I would go up and on Fridays, and I would get the checks for all the guys that worked for me, and I went up and I got the check. So I came back to my office, and they are in a sealed envelope, and so I took mine. As I started to open the envelope, the Spirit of the Lord said, "This company's not your source." I said, "I know." It's amazing what we think we know. I know. God had a reason for saying that to me. But then I asked him, I said, "What are you trying to tell me?" He said, "This company could go bankrupt tonight. And if you look into this company to supply your need, then your source is cut off." He said, "Right now I'm using this company to meet your need, but I'm your source." Now what he was doing was preparing me. Because when he spoke to me to leave secular work, it was to go to zero income for a long period of time. Months. You understand? But what he was telling me was, "I'm your source." Now, it's uncomfortable to the flesh. But I can look back in retrospect and I can tell you that all my needs were met. I didn't have any money in my pocket, but all my needs were met. I've been in the steakhouse and eat filet mignon and I couldn't have left a tip. But God was my source. I didn't steal it. Somebody else paid for it, you understand? And see, this was the thing he was trying to show me, is put your dependency in me. So then, is that prosperity? I mean, you're doing well. But here's what happens. When you think prosperity is in the accumulation of things, you mark it. When people start accumulating things get their attention. The more toys you have, the more time it takes to play with them and work on them. And all the other stuff that goes with that. And so then, are you really prospering? See, to me, prosperity is having more than enough and a peace in your heart. Actually, when you look in the Old Covenant, you'll find that shalom. You ever heard that word? Well, that was prosperity. But what is it? Peace to you. In other words, you don't worry. Your needs are met. That's your peace. That's your prosperity. Your needs are met. Don't look at how much you have. When Jesus sent His disciples out the first time, He said, don't take anything with you. Trust me. That's what He said. Trust me. God's still telling us the same thing today. Trust me. Okay? So then what's prosperity? Trust in God. Believing that God is always a more than enough God. More than enough tells me that's prosperity. More than enough. I've been on the other side of it. I've run out of gas before without money to buy gas. I know what poor is. Now, a lot of people wouldn't view it like that, but I'm a very prosperous man today. But if you look at people, they wouldn't call me prosperous. They wouldn't look at my checking account or my, you know, whatever. They wouldn't look at a bank account and say, boy, he's a prosperous guy. I sleep well at night. I have peace. I don't walk the floors worrying. And my needs are met. Thank God I don't have any bills. I live in my house, not the bank's house. You understand? That's prosperity. To me, that's prosperity. You understand? You don't have to worry about, you know, can I pay my bills? Can I do this? Can I do that? God's met the need. Now, believe me, it's been a process. It's been a learning process. And it's been stepping out. And I just have to admit, I've been guilty. I was like, Sarah, I laughed. When I heard what God said, I laughed. He told me to get out of debt. I was making the least amount of money I'd made. I just went into a church, is what most people call as the pastor. The church didn't have any money. They couldn't pay me a salary. They couldn't pay me nothing. Not even attention. But anyway, in the process of that, I was sitting in my office one morning studying, and the Spirit of God said, get out of debt. And I laughed. I did. As a matter of fact, I got up out of the chair. I said, that sounds good. And if you'll show me how, I will. And He gave me a little principle that wouldn't work, but it did. You understand, the natural mind says it won't work, but God doesn't know that. God knows that if you will, it'll work. Not only did it get me out of debt, it got the church out of heavy, heavy debt. Because we applied the principle to the church. And in 6 years' time, the church was debt-free. That's prosperity. You understand? That's prosperity. So, to be in health and prosper, even as our soul prospers, is to get our thinking like God's thinking, and then we understand what prosperity is. Having all I need. You understand? My needs are met. According to His riches in glory, and it's through Christ Jesus. In other words, what Jesus did when He redeemed humanity took care of everything. It's a package deal, you understand? He didn't have to do it but one time, and He covered all the bases when He did it. He didn't leave nothing undone. And we need the revelation of that. So the prosperity is not as it's presented to where you look like some prestigious person and you wear a $1,000 suit and you know, 14-karat gold cufflinks and the Rolex watch and all the other stuff. I don't think Jesus would wear a Rolex. That's just my thought. The Bible doesn't say that, you know. But the bottom line is, He's not out there to draw attention to Himself. He was always there to draw attention to the Father. And that's what our role is as believers. It's not to bring attention to ourselves, but it's to bring attention to the Father. Now, this is where we get in tune with the new nature. Because the old nature is looking out for me. Me, me, me. My. Right? But the new nature is in a love relationship with God. And the new nature wants to please the Father. Jesus never operated independently of the Father. You notice that? He always did. Do you know that He's expecting that out of the body of Christ, that the body of Christ is not to operate independently of Jesus? But we too are to be looking to the Father and listening to the Father and then moving according to what the Father says. And one of the ways to do that, don't be looking for visions and all this type thing. Get into the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, this right here covers the basic fundamentals. And you get the basic fundamentals in you, and you can win. You understand? When you get the fundamentals right, then you're doing the right things at the right time. And that's exactly what God does. Everything is at the right time. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. In the fullness of time, He'll come again. Everything's done in the fullness of time. You understand? So, we get the Word of God in us. And the Word of God is my prosperity. Everything's in Jesus. So, if I have the Word in me, then I stay in agreement with the Word, and I say about me what God says about me, I can't help but be prosperous. You understand what I mean by that? Not millionaire, billionaire, and all this kind of stuff. Those guys have money. They're not prosperous. They have money. They have accumulation of wealth. And they're miserable people. That enough is never enough. You lie awake at night trying to figure out how to make more. I never think about how to make money. I don't think about it. You understand? I'm not laying there, how can I do this? How can I do that? No, I want to get my mind on the Lord. I want to keep my mind on the Lord. And if I do what the Lord tells me to do, the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. He'll establish my steps. I'll just go in the right direction if I listen to the Lord. And it'll be right where I need to be at the right time. Amazing. That's prosperity. It's listening to the Lord. It's renewing your mind with the Word of God. To where your thinking agrees with your nature, your new nature. You're reprogrammed. Did I answer your question? Okay. We talked a lot anyway, right? So, the soul of man, as we said earlier, this is the part that controls a person, saint or sinner, is your soul. Your body does according as you think. Your will is determined by what you think. Your emotions are displayed or manifested by what you think. Is that not true? You can think yourself happy. You can think yourself angry. You can think yourself sick. For those that was in class the other morning, Harold was telling us how they were pulling a prank, I suppose. It was a horrible prank. But on a fellow employee, they decided they would see if this principle worked. It was two of them. At different times, would go up to this guy and say, are you okay? You don't look good. They said by lunchtime, he went home sick. And there was nothing wrong with him. He gets his thinking wrong. And because he gets his thinking wrong, he goes in the wrong direction. You understand? I've had people to come up and say, you all right? I'll blow my back on that. Yes, I'm all right. I'm fine. Thank you. You know, I've been fighting some battles along the way. And there have been times that Sherry would say to me, you okay? I'll say, I'm fine. Why do you want to lie? I said, why do you want to try to get me to speak against myself? I'm not going to. I said, I'm fine. I'm fine. There is a principle, you call the things that are not as though they were, and they will be. Romans, the 4th chapter, you start with verse 17. Okay? I'm telling you, your thinking is powerful. It's powerful. People are where they are because of how they think. If you don't like where you are, change your thinking. And get your thinking in agreement with the Word of God to where you're thinking like God thinks. It never crosses God's mind that Satan might whip him. He wrote in the book, The Destination of the Devil. You understand? So defeat is not in his thinking. It shouldn't be in yours. You understand? Whatever you set your hand to do, do it with all your might. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. You understand? Stay focused on the Lord. You keep control of your mind. Keep your spirit in control of your thinking. And that just simply means think from the inside, not from the outside. And I'm talking about, obviously, with a new nature, a born-again nature, where the Spirit of God's living on the inside of you. Now, the soul's eternal. When the Spirit of God comes in you, it gave life to the soul. The soul, the heart is made up of soul and spirit. So that's an eternal being. And a person can die and go into the presence of God without having everything perfect in their soul. Otherwise, nobody would be in the presence of God. Have you ever seen a person that their thoughts was 100% like God's? Think about it. But they have a nature. You see, that's why 1 John, the 5th chapter, says that nature can't sin. The nature doesn't. But old programming causes a person to go the wrong direction. That's why we're told to renew our minds with the Word of God. To where we think like God. And if I think like God, I'll go in the right direction. I'll go in the direction that agrees with my nature. I won't live in the 7th chapter of Romans wanting to do what I don't and doing what I don't want. That's just simply saying my mind's not renewed and I'm walking in the flesh. The 8th chapter says if I walk in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. And the reason there's no condemnation is because you're not violating God. You're listening to the Spirit. The Spirit's going to take you in the right direction. Now we know the soul and the Spirit make up the heart. And then Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 tells us that the forces of life come out of the heart. My son, attend to my words, incline your ears to my saying, let them not depart from your eyes, keep in the midst of your heart. What is that? The word? In the middle of your heart? Now what's the next thing? It says, for they, the word, is life to those that find it, and health to all their flesh. And then he says, keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence. That's not casually. That's not haphazardly. That means you are consciously paying attention. You guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces of life. Now, what would I be doing in guarding my heart? 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. You cast down the imaginations. You pull down the strongholds. You capture any thought that doesn't agree with the Word of God. You with me? That's guarding your heart. But if you start meditating on everything that passes through, you can bombard yourself with a lot of garbage and a lot of negative thinking. So you guard your heart. I've learned and am still learning that when I get in certain environments, which is every day, to pray in the Spirit and block out to where I'm not thinking about conversation around me, and oftentimes a person will say, did you hear what I said? I'll say, no. I chose not to hear what they said. You understand? Don't talk politics to me. I'm not in this government. The government that I'm under is the kingdom of God. I want Jesus ruling my heart, not some political system. And if I listen and focus on a political system, it'll keep me upset. Because in my haste, I said all men are liars. Especially politicians. You understand where I'm coming from? But God will never tell me a lie. So if I stay focused on the Lord, I get the good news. I get the truth of God. Now, that will make people talk about you. So suck it up and let them talk about you. They're giving somebody else a break. Okay? The bottom line is, I'd rather for God to speak well on me than men. Right? So let's get in agreement with God. Guard your heart. Why? As you think, so are you. I hope you get this revelation. Because here lately, the Lord has really been dealing with me about that. You choose what you think. Every person in this room chooses what they think. But we've been so casual that if it just passes through, we'll just start thinking about it without asking ourselves, does this meet the criteria of Philippians 4:8? Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Does it have good report? Is there virtue? Is there praise? Now, what does he say? If it doesn't, he says, think on these things. So the understood statement is, or the understood truth, if it's not passing that filter, refuse to think about it. Well, I can't help it. Yes, you can. I had somebody tell me, I can't help what I thought. I said, sure you can help what you think. You don't want to. That's the problem. It's lack of discipline. You it'd be like getting on a horse and just turning the reins loose. Well, you know, go wherever you want to. It won't be where you want to go. And that's what a lot of people, they're thinking that way. It's going where they don't want to go, and they wonder how they got there. Through your thinking. But on the positive side of that, your thinking will take you into the presence of the Lord. So you can go where you want to go. You can set an environment. You do set an environment for the Lord. And it's not dependent upon the environment around you. You with me? In a bad environment, you can set an environment conducive for conversation with God by controlling your thinking. Praying in the Spirit. Talking to the Lord. Singing in the Spirit. Just singing inside you. And that, it's just become a way of life for me. And I'm not wanting to give it up. It's working. In my favor. You understand? So guard your heart. Right? Think right. Think right and you'll be right. Amen? See, a lot of people don't even, they're not assured of their salvation because of their thinking. They don't have a good doctrine. They don't have the doctrine of the Word of God concerning their salvation. They're wishing and hoping. Well, I'm doing the best I can, and if I, you know, I'm just going to try to live good enough, and then when I die, I go to heaven. That type mentality. Not too long ago, the Lord said to me, He said, I didn't ask you to live for me. He said, I ask you to let me live through you. Now, that makes a difference. You know what He asked me to do? Die. I'm crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 said, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but it's not me living. It's Christ living in me. If you're born again, Jesus is living in you. Let Him live. Right? God's in you. Let Him live through you. See, that's what the Lord was telling me. I want you to let me live through you. If I let Him live through me, do you know He'll do the same things He did when He walked on earth? He'll just be using this body. But people are afraid of that. They don't want to yield to that. I'm wanting to yield more of it. I'm wanting to see more. I've seen some things, but not nearly what I want to see. You understand? I mean, once you taste it, you won't be satisfied with anything else. So, let's get her thinking right. I guess I'm supposed to let you guys take a break, right? Well, I can stop there and pick back up. That's not a problem.